Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, O Lord, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet also ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore, I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying, after me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people being penitent the absolution and remission of their sins. He pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips.
And our mouths shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
The first lesson is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 38, verses 9 to 20. A writing of King Hezekiah of Judah, after he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. I said, "In the noontide of my days I must depart. I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look upon mortals no more among the inhabitants of the world. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day to night, you bring me to an end. I cry for help until morning. Like a lion, he breaks all my bones. From day to night, you bring me to an end. Like a swallow or a crane, I clamor. I moan like a dove. My eyes are weary with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my security. But what can I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. All my sleep has fled because of the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things people live, and in all these is the life of my spirit. O restore me to health and make me live. Surely it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but you have held back my life from the pit of destruction. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they thank you, as I do this day. Fathers, make known to children your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will sing to stringed instruments all the days of our lives at the house of the Lord." Here endeth the first lesson.
The second lesson is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 11. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Here endeth the second lesson.
Oh, now let us
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, ministers with righteousness,
and make thy chosen people joyful.
O Lord, save thy people,
and bless thy inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord. Make clean our hearts within us,
and take not thy Holy Spirit from us.
Almighty God, who hast given thine only Son to be unto us both a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life, give us grace that we may always most thankfully receive that his inestimable benefit, and also daily endear ourselves to follow the blessed steps of his most holy life, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour. Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by your great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. For the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our anthem this evening, Holy Father, Cheer Our Way. The words of the hymn, Holy Father, Cheer Our Way, were written by the Reverend Richard Robinson in 1869. He wrote the lyrics specifically for the service of Evensong, basing them on the words of the third collect prayer with its references to darkness and light. The hymn tune was written by the organist and composer Walter Parrott, who named his tune Huddersfield after the town of his birth. He had a distinguished career in music and was knighted in 1892. The following year, he was appointed Master of the Queen's Music to Queen Victoria. This evening we shall hear Richard Robinson's words and Sir Walter Parrott's tune being sung in an anthem arrangement written for choir and organ. Holy Father, cheer our way.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You are what you eat, or so the saying goes. You are what you read or watch too. For if you use a computer and or social media, then what we see is subtly manipulated to suit and perpetuate our own prejudices based on what we search for and like. And even if you don't spend on time online, then you likely know that if you spend time with people who are perpetually miserable or cross, or on the other hand, happy and positive, then it has an impact on us. The week before last, I spent a bit of time with the sisters at Morling Abbey in Kent on retreat. I only spoke with two of them, but they were good to be around. Their Benedictine life together, fashioned by prayer, silence, and work, was a gift to me. For to spend time there was to draw on a deep well. So this last week, with all its different demands, the funerals, the meetings, the conversations, has come as a bit of a shock as I've tried to keep some of that Abbey experience with me, that it might shape how I live and love. And that sense of keeping an experience for which we are thankful, that we wish to remember and make a difference to our lives, is what the words of Hezekiah the king found in the writing of the prophet Isaiah we've heard this evening is trying to do. He's been through an illness, as some of you here this evening have. And the words chart his journey. He speaks of how difficult it's been, that all he had once built his life and identity upon was shaken. My dwelling is plucked up, he says. His sleep has fled. In desperation he prayed, "Oh, restore me to health," and so he is. And his words are of thanksgiving. The living, they thank you, as I do this day," he says. It's as if the illness and his recovery reminded him of who he was before God. And this was the experience he wanted to keep with him, especially as his health returns. And sometimes illness or grief can do this, of course, though sometimes, of course, the opposite is true, especially when someone is not restored to life and health. Which takes us to Lazarus in the Gospel reading. Lazarus has died, grief is all around, and Jesus arrives. Of course, there's a happy end to this story, as we heard, but I don't want to dwell on that, rather to ponder the words of Mary and Martha, who, when they meet Jesus, say the same thing. Funny how I'd never really noticed it before. Martha goes to meet Jesus and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then Mary, a little later, kneels at Jesus' feet and says the same, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, we can hear those words both as an accusation, "Why weren't you here?" or as an affirmation of faith. They knew who Jesus was. The accusation, of course, is how we sometimes feel when tragedy strikes us. That's what we sense in some of those words of Hezekiah too. Why is this happening to me? Help me. Words that have perhaps been ours at some point in our lives, or maybe even now. And yet, though they sometimes need to be said, they don't really help us. My experience is that those who accept what is before them fare better. Often their response is rooted in their faith. It's as if the person draws on the deep well of words and prayers that have fashioned them over the years. Words like those from the Gospel tonight. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." I've spoken those words hundreds of times at the beginning of a funeral, as I did last week for our sister Pat. They're defiant words of faith, spoken when we're confronted with the reality of death. But they are, of course, a gift for us too. For these words, heard and prayed over a lifetime, seep into the depths of our hearts and minds, so that as best we can, we face whatever befalls us with faith and hope. Every day we have stuff to do. We make the beds, we go to work, we go shopping, we care for our loved ones. But every day comes the chance to pray too, to read the scriptures, to be shaped by them, knowing how often, as we read them, a gift is given us through them. Just this last week I was thankful for the verse from Psalm 84, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." They were what I needed to hear at that moment. And these are words I try to live every day, to simply trust in the Lord. Of course, sometimes I get it wrong, I get deluded by my own importance, as we all can. But every day I try to cultivate that simple trust in God's love that would help me echo Martha and Mary's words of faith. This slow and patient work that takes place every day is one in which I strive to be fed not by the often cruel and manipulative words of our time, but by the enduring word of God that challenges and sustains and inspires. So that when the time comes, when life seems strange, and when, to return to Hezekiah, I'm in the noontime of my days and must depart, my words are, I pray, still of thanksgiving, to the God in whose love we live. I'll close with a prayer written by Bishop Edward Reynolds, which is one I return to again and again and again, which helps us hold on to thanksgiving as we go through this life. Perhaps you might say it a few times this week. It's in our prayer books, the Book of Common Prayer, Common Worship even, and you'll find it online. But see what difference it makes for you. For you are what you eat, or you are what you pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
Let us pray. Through the mighty resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have liberated us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your love. Grant that as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so may we walk with newness of life and look for those things which are in heaven, where with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, he is alive and reigns forever and ever. Lord, in your mercy. Ever-loving Father, preserve us in our going out and our coming in. Open our eyes to see you in the stranger we meet by the way. And on our last journey, let us come safely into your eternal presence through the love of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Lord, hear us. Lord Jesus Christ, Good Shepherd, who gave your life for the sheep, gather into your fold those who have wandered away. Feed those who are hungry. Give rest in green pastures to those who are weary of life. Bind up the wounds of those who are injured, and strengthen those who are weak. Guide us all in right pathways for your name's sake. Lord, hear us. O God, creator and preserver of all mankind, bless the people of all nations. Reconcile those who are divided. Relieve the hungry and the oppressed. Bring joy to the sorrowing, and peace and hope to all. Through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, in your mercy. Pray for those for whom prayers have been asked as we remember the sick. Christine Oates, Marjorie Wilkinson, Shane Simpson, Beryl Laverick, Sharon Clark, Jeff Blowers, Tom Heapy, and Ginny Camponi. And we remember those in long-term care as we pray for Mary Metcalf, Margaret Burton, George Brown, Jennifer Mode, and Lynn Perry. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, creator of all men, you have made us creatures of this earth, but have also promised us a share in eternal life. May all who have died share this eternal life with your saints in heaven, where there is neither sorrow nor pain, but life everlasting. We pray for those who have recently died, remembering especially Alan and Mavis Cross, Doreen Hoare, and Tom Harrison. And on the anniversary of death, we remember John Rhodes. Lord, in your mercy. We offer our prayers in the knowledge of your love for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love, and remain with you always. Amen.